Hey folks, and welcome to another episode of the Mountain Bikes Apart podcast. This is the podcast about mountain biking, everything mountain biking from trail guides to equipment and everything in between. And as usual, I'm Colin Gray and I'm joined by Tom Bell. How are you doing, Tom?
Good, thanks, Colin. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Not too bad. Having a good week. Almost at the end of the week. We're recording this on a Thursday, aren't we? So almost the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. It's hoping for some good weather.
Are you planning to get out on the bike at the weekend, of course?
Yeah, exactly. Definitely, if I can do.
Have you been training much this week?
I have, yeah. I've had a fairly normal... I was racing on Sunday down in South Wales, and I've had a fairly... back to a fairly normal training week of a few endurance rides, sort of the longer stuff, and then some time on both the road bike and the mountain bike. So it's been good.
Splitting up. Good stuff. Well, talking of mountain bikes and road bikes, the topic for this week, as you suggested a while ago, was something around packing your bike for international travel. So you've been doing this a lot lately, is that right?
Yeah, well, I probably race internationally maybe sort of up to eight to ten times probably per year. So I've had to pack, and I usually take two bikes as well. So a training bike for practicing on the course, and then an actual race bike. So I tend to be packing two bikes every trip. So
packing lots of stuff. So yeah. You just carting bags and bags through the airport then every time.
Exactly. Yeah, I usually have someone with me. You know, that does bottles at the races and general support. So I've got some help maneuvering the bike bags around, but it can be a bit of a task.
Good stuff. Well, yeah, I mean, we were having a quick chat before this, weren't we? You were talking about the fact that it's quite intimidating. I think I certainly can identify with that. I've thought about going on holiday a few times for mountain biking trips in France, particularly into the Alps, and just, you know, going to Morzine or Tine or whatever. They've got some great trails around now, but it's expensive to get your bike across in the first place. You need to think about what type of bag, like how not to get it broken, all the insurance that you need for it. So yeah, is that the kind of stuff you're thinking about covering today?
Yeah, exactly. Just I've picked up quite a few tips the more you kind of do it. So I've got plenty to kind of talk about from you know, what kind of bike bag you might want to buy, and then some kind of tips for packing it, as well as kind of getting through the airport as efficiently as possible.
Indeed. So I suppose, what are the, you talked about training already, so that's one reason you're going to take your bike abroad, to maybe get the better weather, to get out more often possibly. Yeah. And then there's just general holidays, I guess, like I'm thinking about taking my mountain bike to the Alps, as I mentioned. Are there any other reasons that somebody might take their bike abroad?
Yeah, exactly. So it's whether you want to go on a kind of mountain bike specific holiday, whether you're going to, like you said, Morzine or Leger or somewhere like that, or you might just want to take the bike on a kind of regular family holiday just to snag a few hours here and there to get out. And obviously there's racing as well. So if you're doing some international sportives or you know, enduro races or cross country races or whatever it is, that's another reason you might want to pack the bike up and fly abroad.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so what about the bags then? What kind of, I mean, I think that feels to me like the basic thing, like what you're going to pack it in. And I've seen a bunch of different types. Like we've got a completely, what would you call it, just canvas bag, basically. It doesn't seem to offer any protection whatsoever. So I'm not sure that's a good idea. What are the different types of bags you can get for this?
Yeah, exactly. So there's probably, I would say, four main types. So you've got at the top, the most kind of protective one is probably the hard case. So they're usually made out of a pretty dense plastic. Mm-hmm. And they kind of clamp shut with some fairly robust mechanisms. So they're kind of the best ones to go for if you're wanting kind of maximum protection.
Yeah.
Then just down from that, you've kind of got a semi-rigid one, which might be sort of, it's almost like a slightly more flexible plastic that's kind of coated in a canvas. Mm-hmm. So that offers kind of a intermediate between the soft one which is just canvas.
Yeah, like I've got useless thing.
Yeah.
It's basically just for putting stuff in. It's not for any kind of protection whatsoever. Yeah.
Exactly. And then you have a soft case. Some soft cases are terrible, like you were talking about, and then there's some that are fairly well you know, they're fairly protective, but mm-hmm. they're still fairly flexible. You can kind of roll them up once you've used them.
Right. So they've got some padding in them and stuff like that, but just rigidness. Yeah.
Exactly. They've got some padding and some kind of have inserts that you can kind of put in to just add a little bit of rigidity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, to be honest, some people actually use cardboard boxes, you know, the kind of box that your bike would come in if you ordered it online, for instance.
Yeah, good stuff.
And actually, they look pretty ghetto, but they actually, I think, do a fairly decent job if you use a lot of gaffer tape and that kind of thing.
Yeah. I'd imagine if you put in some extra padding, like putting some bubble wrap and polystyrene and stuff like that, cardboard boxes probably, just as good as a hard case.
You think so? I mean, that's what they ship the bikes in, so it's got to be up to a certain level of protection for that purpose.
Yeah, yeah. So the hard case, I'm thinking of something that actually looks like those plastic suitcases that you always get in the airports, you know, like you get generally older generation possibly using these like really hard cases that just kind of you could throw it about, you wouldn't imagine it cracking at all. Is that what you're talking about there?
Yeah, exactly. They're kind of shaped very much kind of like a bike, so that the bike fits in very snugly.
Yeah.
And they've usually got a kind of anti-crush device inside, so that's usually like a metal pole that you put in.
Okay.
And so they're definitely, if you're wanting complete protection, they're definitely the best bet.
Yeah. And they, am I right in thinking the hard cases, at least, maybe the semi-rigid too, I don't know if you could say, but the hard cases have special slots for certain things, don't they? Like you've got a place to put your wheels, a place to put the frame, a place to put the pedals, that type of stuff.
Exactly, yeah. So you've usually got two kind of areas for your wheels and then the skewers. Obviously the designs vary depending on the brand, but usually your skewers kind of fix the wheels into dedicated slots.
In the
box, and then you've got kind of straps and dedicated padding inside just to kind of stop the frame moving around too much.
Yeah. Does that mean you have to buy a case suited to your brand? Like, I mean, well, so, okay, so what I'm thinking is, you know, mountain bikes are varying wheel sizes now. You've got road bike wheel sizes, even different.
Yeah.
So does that mean you have to buy, you know, there's different cases for different types of bike?
I think the manufacturers don't, potentially don't like the fact that there's so many, you know, wheel variations.
I'd imagine.
Different types of bikes. But I think the kind of leading ones are doing quite a good job of creating bike bags and bike boxes that fit any type of bike.
Right. Okay.
I know I've put a road bike in the same, you know, box as my mountain bike.
Okay. Yeah.
Was potentially designed for the mountain bike. So
yeah,
I think they're fairly flexible.
Yeah. So they don't fit by the centimeter. So you can get like a 29 inch wheel in a 26 inch space. Well, the other way around probably, but yeah, they design it to fit the largest possible one and then you can get the rest in, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I think sometimes you have to sort of deflate the tires a bit more and you can run into problems, I guess, if you've got a particularly large frame. So whether it's something like XXL, but I think for most people, it's generally okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but do the semi-rigid ones have those kind of things inside them as well, like those kind of slots for particular parts, or is it just basically stuff it all in any way you can?
Well, they tend to, yeah. I think the kind of rigid element lends itself to that kind of purpose-built design.
Yeah.
Whereas the kind of softer ones are more of a square, you know, rectangular shape, and things just go in as you can fit them, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And the soft case ones, generally, you try and package it up as best you can, I suppose. But it's not really like it's got slots to go into.
No, exactly. The best thing I think, if you're using a soft case, is to if you've got the cardboard box that your bike came in, or you can perhaps get one from a bike shop, is to just kind of cut that up and maybe put the sides of that cardboard box into the soft case just to give a bit more rigidity and you know, crush kind of you know, just to ward off any
crush protection,
brushing and stuff. Yeah. So I don't think baggage handlers are always the most careful of people when it comes to and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So I suppose try to figure out which one would suit certain people. I'm guessing, look at the hard ones first, the rigid ones. Yeah. The obvious advantage there is that they're tough. They stop things getting crushed. They stop things getting bashed about, you know, breaking, all that kind of stuff. Are there any, what are the downsides of it really?
I'd say the main downside, because I've used hard cases and as well as sort of softer ones. And the main downside with the hard case or the fully rigid ones is that you just can't get as much stuff in there.
Right.
You know, they're not as pliable. They don't stretch and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They're great for people that have, that are just taking a bike and perhaps, you know, a pump and some shoes and are traveling fairly light. Hmm. Whereas for me, I actually prefer the kind of more softer ones because I can, like I said, put the cardboard in to add that kind of extra rigidity.
Yeah.
But also just get more in, basically. So yeah. I use Polaris bike bags. They're a sponsor of mine.
Sure.
And the axial pod, which is the model that I use, kind of has two slots for the wheels, but with the space of a soft case, I can fit another wheel in. So when I take two bikes, I can actually take the wheels for each bike plus a kind of spare set as well.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's something you can't do with a hard case.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they've just got particular slots for two wheels, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. There's not enough space, you know, additionally to fit anything else in, yeah, other than smaller items like shoes and
stuff all your clothes in there as well. That's what we always end up doing with our ski bags. Like, you're only supposed to take a certain amount, but you can usually shove your ski bag full of most of your clothes.
That's it.
A few salopettes at least.
Yeah, well, that's actually now thinking about that, one of the other disadvantages of the more rigid hard cases is obviously they weigh a bit more. So there's varying weight limits with airlines. So sometimes using a hard case can put you a lot closer to the weight limit just with the bike in there. So as well as not having as much space to take other things, usually you don't quite have the weight limit unless you obviously pay for extra kilograms, which are pretty expensive, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, so that sounds like the pros and cons. Anything else you wanted to mention about good and bad things about the different types of cases or anything that covers it?
I think that covers it, really. Yeah. Just the you can just tend to fit more into to the more pliable ones.
Yeah. So it makes up for the lack of protection a little bit, at least.
Yeah, exactly. And you can usually fit, you know, like whether it's a plastic sheet or some additional cardboard, you can kind of pack them out, the softer ones out. So they're fairly... At that point, they're fairly well protected.
Yeah, cool. Okay, let's go on to how we go about it then. Like, how do you go about packing that bike? Because there's a lot of people actually out there that don't really, they haven't messed around with taking stuff off their bike. Mm-hmm. Like, they haven't removed their handlebars, pedals, that type of stuff.
That's
so
it.
How much do people actually have to do with their bike in terms of disassembly to actually get it into the case?
Yeah, well, this can be one of the, you know, most intimidating things about flying the bike abroad, because obviously you've got the concerns about them, about it being damaged when you fly, but also, like you say, taking it apart, a lot of people aren't used to that. So, I mean, it varies with the brand of bike bag, but usually you have to remove either the stem and the handlebars. So you kind of keep the stem attached to the handlebars or whip the handlebar out of the stem.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, when it's turned on its side, the bar's just going to be sticking out all over the place. And that's the kind of rule. Anything that kind of sticks out too much, you want to remove. So that usually covers the handlebar / stem, the pedals. And usually I take the rear mech off as well, just because it's kind of without the wheels and it's kind of dangling there and it's potentially quite vulnerable.
But fragile, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And once you when you just remove it from the mech hanger, you know, you're not altering any of the indexing or the setup that you've got. So once you screw it back in at the other end, it should retain all of the settings and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so you don't detach it, you keep the cable attached. It's just that you actually unscrew it off the frame.
That's it, kind of position it. I usually position it inside the kind of seat stays, just so it's kind of out the way.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's mostly straightforward then. I mean, that's all stuff you can take off with just a, you know, a multi-tool set of hex keys, really.
Yeah.
Well, but I suppose pedals, you need your spanner. But I mean, it's still just, yeah, still a spanner and a set of hex keys would do the job.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't think people need to be, you know, worried about that. It's fairly simple, and it's fairly simple to put back together. There's also sometimes a saddle needs to come off again. So it's just sometimes a case of just marking your kind of seat height and that kind of thing. But it's all straightforward. Yeah. And you shouldn't need too many tools to put it back together again.
Yeah. Just make the setup simple again by, marking things. Good stuff. Okay. What about extra protection then? Is there anything we need to do to make sure that everything, you know, how do you place stuff in there? Do you protect stuff? Do you wrap up the pedals? Do you put padding between the frame and the handlebars, that type of stuff? What do you do inside there?
Yeah, I think I, over the years, have kind of just packed as much stuff in up to the weight limit, you know, made them as protected as possible. So I usually use bubble wrap. And a fair bit of it just between anything that's going to rub together potentially.
Yeah.
And then just I usually put some kind of cardboard or a little piece of wood in between the brake pads just to prevent the pistons coming out if the brake lever gets squeezed kind of in transit.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And then just sometimes an old bed sheet, as weird as it sounds. It's sometimes, you know, as mountain bikers tend to get the bikes muddy fairly often, and it actually comes in useful at the other end to kind of protect. If you're, you know, if you're abroad, it might just be able to lay it down in the hire car just to stop mud getting everywhere. So it kind of comes in useful as well as kind of in transit as well.
Okay. Yeah, good stuff. So that, yeah, you've got a few different tools in there to keep, well, not tools, devices to keep it protected.
Yeah, exactly. But bubble wrap's a good one, and it doesn't weigh a lot either. So it's fine to go a bit mental with that, I think. Yeah,
good stuff. Okay. So what about, you mentioned letting air out the tires earlier on. Is that something you have to do every time?
No, I don't think you'd, I mean, some of the airlines recommend that you do it, just because I think if someone's got their tires pumped up to 60 PSI and the pressure goes up in the flight, theoretically there's a risk of it kind of them blowing up a bit, but
okay.
They don't tend to.
They don't tend to, or they don't?
I haven't
there's
really
a big difference
any.
There.
I haven't really. I assume it's probably happened at some point, but I haven't heard any kind of stories. And I mean, sometimes you let the air out just to give yourself some additional space in the bike box or bike bag, but if you don't need to, then it's probably best just to leave them, especially if they're tubeless and you don't have to go through the whole faff of the bead coming out of the rim and that kind of thing. Usually it's fine just to leave them to the pressure that you usually ride them at.
Yeah, okay, cool. All right. Is there anything else we need to think about when we're packing it then?
I think just there's certain things you do want to leave out. They're mainly, if you're racing, you tend to sometimes use CO2 kind of, you know, air canisters.
Okay, yep.
They're a no-go.
I'd imagine. Don't take explosive devices into an airplane.
That's it. I've actually on more than one occasion bought CO2 canisters kind of in the country that I've traveled to, and then put them in absent-mindedly and flown back with them.
Yeah.
Which is a bit worrying. But
when they got through okay.
They got through fine, yeah. They must not have scanned them particularly effectively. They're a no-go. You don't want to be pulling trying to find those at the other end when the scanners reject the bike bag.
Exactly. Okay, what about the airport itself then? So you mentioned bringing along somebody else as a bit of help. I'd imagine that's pretty useful. What about if you don't have any help though? Is there any tips on actually just getting through the airport and surviving, carrying all that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I would think that most people would just have the one bike. I'm a bit of a weird exception having two bikes. So usually you're just carting one bike around. The hard cases, another kind of pro or benefit of the hard cases is usually they have some fairly stable wheels on the bottom.
Before,
kind of, Yeah, you can kind of push it along almost like a trolley, whereas the softer ones often have wheels, but you kind of have to lift them at one end.
Yeah, yeah.
To move them around. So
or just drag them generally, I've seen that.
Drag them, yeah. Push them, drag them, however you can get through.
Yeah.
So, but I think one tip kind of before you even get to the airport is just know your kind of weight limits. Yeah. So know that what weight limit your airline allows, and then making sure kind of at home that you've that you're under that, so there's no kind of awkward conversations and blagging at the other end of the airport.
Yeah. The weight limits then, because you obviously usually have someone like 10 or 20 kilograms with normal bags, but I kind of thought actually, because you're always paying so much to get a sports kit on, that they're a lot more flexible with it, that it's usually quite heavy. But are you saying that it's quite easy to hit that weight limit on a flight?
Yeah, with certain airlines, I think the ones I usually fly with allow up to about 32 kilograms, which tends to be plenty. Like I say, I've usually got a full bike in there as well as a spare wheel, as well and tools and other bits of kit. So it's usually the average kind of traveler with their bike would be fine. Some of the airlines are a fair bit lower than that. Mm-hmm. And if you're using a hard case and you've just got your bike in there, you're actually already kind of coming up to the weight limit. So it's sometimes a case of picking, which airline to fly with based on how much weight you can get away with for the as well.
Yeah. What does just a normal bike and maybe a couple of little tools usually weigh in a hard case, say?
Ooh, I'm not entirely sure. I would think a hard case would probably weigh
Well, what are you usually then? So when you're taking your bag, are you hitting that 32 kilo, close to at least? Are you coming up to 30 kilo sometimes?
Yeah, definitely. We've got, we tend to have, up to 32 kilograms on both of them. And that's with a soft case.
Right. Okay.
But obviously with an extra wheel in each one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And that's just, a wheel is just probably not even a kilo, is it?
It shouldn't be. No, they usually, that you wouldn't think there'd be that much more than that. Mm-hmm. You can get pretty close depending on, and sometimes you take metal pumps and a big tool bag and that can add a lot of weight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But usually you'd be okay with 32, kilograms, but maybe when it comes down to, 25, I think for some airlines that's when it kind of gets maybe a bit of a struggle.
Starting to get tight. Yeah. Gotta be careful with it. Okay. What about just last thing, I suppose, cover everything else. I mean, what you're taking your bike bag, but you get a carry-on as well, though, don't you? And sometimes even a check-in bag alongside that. So actually, you can get a lot of your other kit in just a normal bag, can't you?
Yeah, I usually, because I'm flying with two bikes, it usually gets fairly expensive. So we're always kind of looking to cut the costs as much. So I usually fly with just a carry-on bag. They're fairly big. It depends, I guess, how long you're going away for. But when I'm usually flying abroad to race, so it's usually kind of a 3 to 4 day trip. And I can usually get, like you say, most of the clothes in the bike bag and the bulky items in there, and then kind of use a carry-on bag just have a carry-on bag. So I'm not paying any more for a check-in bag. But you can take a bike bag and a check-in bag and a carry-on bag. So with that, there's usually got plenty of space.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, dogs, I think that covers it. Is there anything else you wanted to add in before we finish up?
I would say get a trolley at the airport. To lift kind of a bike bag once or twice, it seems fine, but when you're dragging them around and you see a sign for departures and it's a mile away, then it can be you can kind of quite easily put your back out or just straighten
30 kilos is half of a sort of smallish human being.
It's heavier than you think, and they're often fairly unstable, so they're always sort of falling everywhere and they can be a bit of a nuisance. So just getting a trolley is a good idea, but some of the airports now are actually charging kind of for trolleys that non-refundable.
Yeah.
That's that's really annoying. But if they're, you know, if they you can get your money back kind of thing, then trolleys are a good idea. And it just gets you around a lot easier.
I'd imagine if it's only a quid or something, then it's worth the bother if you're carting around two bike bags, for example.
Yeah, I think it's worth convenience.
Indeed. Okay, cool. Well, I think that was really good. It's certainly taught me a couple of things because I've not travelled with the bike yet. I mean, I've travelled the length of the country, length of the UK and back plenty of times with the bike, but never had to actually pack it all up to take in a plane. So yeah, good stuff to know. I hope everyone else out there enjoyed that as well and found it useful. So it'd be great to hear from you. If you are planning to go anywhere anytime soon, you have any more questions for Tom or myself around packing up your bike or taking stuff abroad, then you can get us on the Twitters at Colin MC Gray for me. And where are you, Tom?
I'm at By Tom Bell, so that's BYTOMBELL.
So yeah, it's the easiest way to catch us. Just send us a tweet, ask any questions related to this topic, or even just some suggestions for future episodes. We're always looking for ideas for things to talk about next. So yeah, it'd be great to hear from you. And if you want to look at the show notes for this episode, you can find them at mountainbikesapart.com/304. No, that's not right at all. 204, sorry. mountainbikespart.com/204 because it's season 2. So that's why it's 2, episode 4. So yeah, everything will be on there. Everything you need to know, a summary of everything we've talked about today, plus any resources that you need. And that's it for this week. Thanks for joining me again, Tom.
No problem, Colin. Thanks for that. Cheers.
We'll see you next time. Talk to you then.